This episode has been brought to you by Perspective Insights for all your therapeutic needs.
Are we doing a podcast right now with Tonetta?
Oh, that is not Tonetta.
Tonetta?
Pastor Nettie.
Whatever. Pastor Nettie.
Pastor Nettie.
I'm not a pastor.
And she's been upstairs this whole time.
This whole time.
We are broke boys. We are in her basement.
We're in our mama's basement.
You know what I mean?
Hold it down. She let us rock for how long now? Like a year.
That's what I'm saying.
Like a whole year.
Right.
We had a flood that tried to wipe us out. That was Trey Calls and them tried to wipe us out when they started their pod.
What does that even mean?
They got together with the Wilties and them and flooded.
They got
our
a podcast?
Career.
Yeah. Oh, yo. What if that was really true? What if they tried to flood us out?
Look at that.
Is this real? Are we recording right now?
Yeah, we're recording every time.
But we back.
We're back in the basement. Every single time she does laundry, she's
pissed. Shops with Blair's coat.
She's mad every time she comes down here. She'd be knocking our bottles over.
I'll do them on Tuesday.
And never cleans the cups.
You never clean the cups down
and
here.
Never have ice.
It's not your job,
what type
Nettie.
Of time will you be
ask
on?
Who washes y'all's cups?
It's not your job, Nettie.
And puts them in my cupboard. I do.
It's not a job, but it's just
it's
like...
A, yeah, it's not her job.
I but mean, I do like, wash y'all's
It's helpful.
Cups.
It's cups
you
in her house.
You don't have to...
I don't think I wash y'all's cups.
Don't walk.
He doesn't
into
wash
this.
Them.
So what? I don't care. It's not my job. They can take it home and wash it themselves.
Now we found out it's murd.
Yeah, I've washed y'all's.
Guess
cups.
Who provided the basement? You did. Guess who edits? Guess who shoots? Somebody else can wash the goddamn cup.
Murd. We know murd. This is yours. Murd.
Don't walk down the road, murd, Nettie.
Nobody is under.
Did you just, tell us that? We're just pieces to your puzzle?
No, I didn't.
You don't know that? You don't know that?
No, I know that, but we don't talk
right,
about it.
Right, but like, why would you do me like that?
That's like MJ saying like, oh yeah, Luke Longley.
Like, fuck Scottie Pippen.
You're just down there, bro. Just pass me the rock.
All I'm saying is...
You're in the way.
It ain't
you. That's what you said. We're in the way. I get it.
Take
but
it
I do have
take.
Ice. I have lots of ice upstairs right now.
I can't ever find no ice when I look up there.
It's on... Pull the tray out. There's another tray in my freezer.
She got a bottom freezer. Mm,
yeah, see?
She's rich.
That's what happens when you move up on Coe Hill.
You see what I'm saying?
It's definitely quiet up here.
And just for the record.
Is it though?
Oh, not that night. Not that night.
I'm about to turn it up here.
I thought I was going to have to bang and I was like, I can't even fight. Oh, this is some bullshit. I was like, he's going to pull my hamstring.
What was you about to say?
I had to tell her boyfriend that works out. I was like, you stretch? He was like, yeah. He was like, call me on the phone. He was like this. He goes, so what happened? Told him. Brief description. It was over. And he goes like this. I was like, God damn.
Down in like
that was
hours.
The most gangster conversation I've had in years.
Real
I was like this. I'm going to get direct because you got direct. Let's move on.
I want to introduce somebody that I'm extremely proud of. Somebody that could be out here in the streets with the rest of these hood rats. But
please.
She ain't.
Don't do that. But
no,
like
for
that.
Sure do that.
But hey, she ain't.
God
I mean?
Called her, you know what I'm saying?
Became a therapist, you know what I'm saying? Got your own property.
Nobody you know even knows what that means.
You got your own practice.
Let's
not skip over that. You run your own business, your own practice.
I do.
You cut your own checks. You can hire Job. Job needs
I could.
A
what?
We ain't gonna
you
hear
hired
that.
Me.
So do you have an actual establishment?
Yeah, so I'm an LLC. Like, my name of my business is Perspective Insights.
He said
LLC.
Establishment. That means, like, brick and mortar.
Yes.
No, so I rent an office. I do. In Pittsburgh.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. But it's not mine, no.
Oh, okay.
That's
what's up.
But
so,
online, yes. Like, online, that's what everybody's doing now.
So what is your mine. What is your actual position, job, career?
So I'm a licensed therapist. Owner, founder, licensed therapist.
What category of therapy? All or like what's your thing?
Like emotional?
So,
like what we doing?
Well, emotional is what every therapist is touching on emotions. Like there's not a emotional theory category. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. Basically, I work with mind
spell
and
it.
Behaviors. I know how to spell. I'm a spelling bee champ, first of all.
Okay,
C-O-G-N-I-T-I-V-E.
Cognitive,
baby. So basically looking at thoughts and how thoughts impact behaviors. Basically, how do we get rid of toxic thoughts? What kind of thought patterns do you have? Where did you develop them? How do we change those to better behaviors,
okay.
better decisions?
Okay.
But also solution focus. Like I tell my people when they come in the session, I'm like, look, it's a great place for you to come. Safe space, you know, to create space so you can get through your stuff. But what are we going to do about your stuff too? Like I want my people to leave feeling like they have an action item or homework or something that they're working on. Mm.
So you took what you've been doing your whole life and you got credentials behind it now. And you're basically certified. Because I feel like you've been doing this.
Yeah, like, I mean, when you preach, you know, like, listening to your sermons, it was literally like you was going to school. Like, every single time you hear Nettie preach, when you go, you're like, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that.
Gotta write this down.
I got to do this. If I don't do this, I'm, you know,
going to hell.
I'm going to hell. I gotta make these certain things happen, or, you know, so yeah. I can see me like laying on that couch with Nettie, you know what I'm saying? Just be like, not comfortable. Like, oh, I gotta do this.
Well, and I, that's not what it's like though, because okay. Like, I feel like when I say safe space, my people come in with their stuff. I don't make anybody feel like they have to do something. Like, I'm gonna give you options, I'm gonna help you guide, but like therapy, you make your own decisions. That's what therapy is. You just it's talk not them. Me telling you.
You let them talk them through it.
Yeah, and I'll help you like, hold up. Do you hear but how when you just said
toxic,
that?
I feel like it's just like a grab word. What does toxic even mean?
I feel like unhealthy.
But what's unhealthy to you? Because I unfollowed you today.
So I feel like, why did you unfollow me today? Because of something I posted?
Yeah, your post was trash.
Which post?
The last one you posted.
About grief?
Nah, it was like five different things.
Like crossing things out.
I sent it to him.
I didn't think it was bad.
Wait, I don't remember. That wasn't today. That was an old post.
This limp bitch.
Hey, don't talk about my baby. So wait. What was the post and why did it trigger you to delete me?
Because it was just like, you're just like going for like grab words and like,
what
like,
was it? Let's
obviously,
talk about it.
Obviously attention, but like, I'm okay with that.
That's but how you felt?
I want a description though. Like, everybody's toxic.
So which?
What toxic are you talking about?
You always know who needs help.
Oh, you talking about the invalidating post?
You
why?
Bitch.
Why didn't you like this? Because I agree with this.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people feel invalidated. They feel like when they're talking, I don't matter. What I have to say doesn't matter.
I was triggered.
Were you triggered? Did it bother you? Did it evoke something?
Did it say
in you?
Triggered?
Does the word in there say triggered? At the bottom.
Toxic and triggered. That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
but those are words we use in the field. Does it bother you, me saying those words?
If somebody says that to me,
I literally, when I read that, I had no idea what you were talking about.
Okay, that's weird.
I get it. It seemed very regular.
But basic. I just didn't like crossing it out, like, oh, I feel this way. Ooh, I feel this way. Like, shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah, it's changing perspective.
Yeah, but we talked to each other so crazy, and I was like, damn, is she putting us on blast?
That's probably why you were triggered.
Yeah, it probably was.
You know what I mean? Because
yeah, I think it did something.
No, 100%. I know it did.
But I think I'm not understanding what it did. I don't. Can you explain?
Just trigger words, like just dumb shit. Like, I felt like you were just pandering.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Damn it, she hit me again with this shit.
She's analyzing. She's trying to understand.
Right, man. Fuck this shit,
so
man.
So what would you have rather me have done? Like, would you want me to speak in a different language?
No. Just say it without saying the other things.
Ooh, that condescending. She said speaking a different language.
Bro, talk down to me. Didn't
no,
she?
I'm not. I mean, speak in a language that makes more sense. Like, I'm not trying to be smart.
Say it without saying it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, say all those it. Cross out whatever, you know what I mean? Boom,
okay.
Boom, boom.
I can take feedback. Like
just say directly.
But I think for some people, they don't know what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people don't learn the same way like that.
And I think the concept
like you can literally hear just like, oh, don't act this way, mm-hmm. act this way. You can read that and receive that. That crossing it out gives other people validation.
Right. And it shows.
That's what I'm saying. Visual. And those are the people that I hate. How you don't know?
That's a,
you think I don't know?
That's different. Not fair.
That's why he's not a therapist, though. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Fair. He's not a therapist. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he doesn't like those people. They're not coming to him for advice. Now, if he was a therapist, he'd be a fucking pro. But he's not. He's not.
You turn some people away. You would.
You know what I mean? So, okay. So you work in, you know, you said you're more solution oriented. The reason we brought you here today because we wanted to talk about Yeezy.
Yes.
Kanye.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's been on my heart. For real.
Who?
I truly want to know. Mm-hmm. I really want to know what you think his mental state is.
What is bipolar?
So bipolar is a disorder. Basically, you swing back and forth between two states, depression and what they call mania. So mania is like where you have this elevated mood where you can be like, hey, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to divorce my wife. And
is that a chemical?
Shout out to Mom Dukes.
Like a chemical imbalance?
The arguments were like that before, years ago, but they're not anymore. They're not saying it's chemical. They don't really know where bipolar comes. It can be
so then it's just a made up thing then.
Right. They're always trying to figure this out.
I'm not going to call it made up.
Hold that question.
Because understand what mania is.
It's got to be a real thing.
No, it's more of research and trying to figure something out.
You've been outside and dealt with people like within minutes and how they go from here to here, boom, boom, boom. And I've seen it.
Oh, I've seen people
bipolar
switch.
Is definitely real. They medicate you when you go to jail. They medicate you when you're outside. They don't medicate you when you don't have insurance.
What are you medicating if there's no chemical situation?
To stabilize the fluctuation between here and here.
So how's that not chemical?
Here.
So how's it not chemical? That's what I'm saying.
I'm just telling you what the research
is. Yeah, I feel like the argument is just
not biochemical
anymore.
That's
the argument. Trying to figure out whether it is or not.
Yeah, stop caping for your sister, bro.
Man, I'm talking. I work in this field. I know what you're talking about, bro.
So,
I know what this is.
Like the whole Kanye situation, like, I know a lot of people are upset about the way he is responding to Kim.
Calling it attacking. Mm-hmm. Right. What's the new boyfriend's name? And then him going at her.
Pete.
It's like abuse, more or less.
Mm-hmm. Is that abuse?
I think what Kanye's doing is wrong. But listen, where I come from, I love Kanye. I think Kanye's not well. I think he's very unwell right now, and he's completely manic, and he's been manic for months, which is not healthy to stay in that state. No, because he goes back and forth. Kanye goes back down. We've seen Kanye kind of like
chill. On pills.
We've seen him moody. We've seen him depressed. But what he's doing is antagonizing her, and it's not safe. But do I think he's going to harm her? Probably 100% no. But what he's doing is not okay, and Kanye needs consequences.
So as far as attacking her, like, what has he done? Because I haven't seen
everything.
He has
threatened Pete. He has had a video of him decapitating.
He's threatened three or four people.
He's done that.
D.L. Hughley.
When y'all see Pete do this.
It's totally different than threatening Kim.
Well, I mean.
That's totally different.
So no, you putting it on the internet is like, you're inviting your psychotic fans that are thinking, they're looking at you like, are you crazy? Man, me too. Man, he's a genius, so I must be a genius too. I'm going to hop on Pete in the middle of L.A. Like, you know what I mean? You don't know how far it can go.
It's the other stuff, like buying a house across the street from Kim. Y'all are divorced. Like,
that's just
supposed to be. But what's the context behind that? Because I would do something like that.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Like,
I would buy some property in that area if we no longer together.
Now, and a lot of people don't understand, like, because everyone keeps saying that, oh, he bounces from, you know, this hypocritical state where he says one thing and then he ends up doing a different thing.
I don't think it's hypocritical.
That happens a lot. You can change your mind. You can feel a certain kind of way and then completely change your mind.
And tomorrow morning, wake up, be like,
right.
Ah,
when I'm no longer manic, I don't feel that way no more. I don't think it's hypocritical.
Or just hear other people out and realize that you was just wrong in that state.
Right.
I mean, I don't think you got to be manic to feel a certain kind of way and then switch to it.
What is manic?
Well, manic is when, like, you could be extremely excited. You know what I'm saying? You could be extremely happy. You know what I'm saying? That's what the bipolar is. You're extremely happy, but you're depressed at the same time.
And it's not just that. You see that with Kanye. You're more prone to do more dangerous things you wouldn't do. So a lot of people, when they're manic, have multiple sex partners. Like, I know clients, 10 people in a day. But when they're back down, they're like, no, I don't.
10 people in a day?
Yes.
Like, and I ain't getting no pussy?
I just don't understand. What was that movie?
It's some bullshit.
And not just that. It's not just sex.
Back in the 80s when that white dude was outside and he had that goddamn speaker over top of his head outside the window.
Oh, are you talking about movie? They always talk about that.
You know what I'm saying? They always had that.
Not spacey.
He wasn't. That was cute. That was cute. That was nice. He was just trying to get his woman.
Now you get arrested.
Now Kanye's manic for doing the same thing.
I'm not saying Kanye's manic for what he's doing.
I want my family back.
He's just manic in general.
In my opinion, it's like he wants his family back. He's doing whatever it takes.
And I will fight you and I will shoot you behind it.
I don't think they're saying that he's manic for doing it. I think they're saying he's being abusive.
We do this in every neighborhood.
And he's being toxic.
In his manic state, he's doing
this. He's being abusive.
Yeah, I think they're saying he's being toxic and abusive. You know what I mean?
Again, he said toxic.
And then he's posting all the stuff online. Like,
you said toxic.
I want Kanye to just stop doing those beats.
What does that mean?
In general.
I mean, being
so
toxic.
We don't understand what Kanye's going through just because he has a certain kind of platform where he can reach out to other people.
He got like three kids.
And express his feelings to everybody else to just try to have people see his side.
I thought he had two.
And I think Kanye is trying to fight. He wants somebody to listen to him. So that's what he's using social media for. It's just, it's not a good idea. Kanye needs a therapist. Kanye needs somebody safe to talk to. Like, did you watch a documentary?
Yes.
And I watched the way his mom interacted with him. She knew that there was something inside of her son, but she knew how to talk to her.
She was his ice.
When you watch it,
put him on ice all the time.
She knew exactly how to be like, I know how to
see. No.
Walk him through the yard.
When you watch it, he is boisterous when he's a kid. He's boisterous always.
He's confident now that he's at the top, that now he's crazy all of a sudden.
Exactly. Nothing.
He wasn't crazy back then.
Nothing screamed mental illness when he was young, when he was going.
I think his mom dying broke him.
That's goofy.
Kanye did not shift. I mean,
it is in a sense, but it's what happened.
What's today?
Joe,
what's today?
But Joe,
what's today?
I don't know.
What's today's date?
Tuesday, the 22nd.
Rico had his baby.
Okay. Right.
Whose birthday is this?
Your pops.
You think I give a fuck?
That's not everybody's experience. Give a fuck? We can't say you're handling it the way you handle.
Your dad's bothered?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, happy birthday, Pops.
Happy birthday.
You're supposed to drop a pod.
That's why we drop.
But listen, just because that's your experience with grief, other people don't handle it the same way. Kanye, you can tell the difference in his behavior.
For sure, for sure.
You've seen it. He declined and deteriorated over time. He's still a genius. Musically, ain't nothing been tapped or untouched.
Them beats ain't stopped, though.
But you can tell just even the way he's talking. And when he starts talking about I'm a God and things like that, that's when you know Kanye's manic. Like, Kanye's on an elevated level of, like,
nah, I felt him when he said that.
If you worked in the field, like, I've had clients who have schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder. They have met Princess Diana. They are God. They are Jesus Christ. Like, this is common behavior.
Oh, they're delusional. That's different.
That's different than what Kanye's saying. Kanye's just talking about how, you know, God is within you and you are a God.
No, like, but there are certain moments and sound bites that
he's really trying to say that he's Jesus Christ.
But I feel like I've heard other interviews where he's like, I am God. I've heard Kanye
mouth. But what he means by that is, you know what I'm saying, God is within all of us. You are God.
I
like,
think
you
it's
have
okay
control.
To say that he might sometimes have a little delusional behavior.
I agree, but I'm just saying in those moments, I don't equate that with my client, my one client who believed he was Jesus and he wrote the Bible.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Totally different, you know what I mean, people in that moment. But I do see in those moments how excited he is and how he can't control it. And he wants you to hear him so much that he's just spewing shit and he's coming out sounding crazy. But I be feeling everything that he says.
Well, I think what he says makes sense.
Always.
The stuff he says out loud does make sense. Not all of it though. Did y'all watch on the documentary, at the end of the documentary, he started talking about the water. That stuff was so tangential. That's what we call it.
You talking about the white dudes, whatever he had?
Yeah, he was on the back porch. It turned, and this boy turned the camera off because he was like, this guy
different. Yeah, but everybody doesn't say the right things all the time.
It's not about saying the right things. It was scattered. It was all over the place. Those are patterns you should have heard the way. And therapy.
Okay.
Like, that's scattered. I can't follow you now, Kanye. Usually, circle me back. You couldn't circle him back in that moment.
And Joe Rogan put it best when he interviewed him. He said, Kanye, he said, man, what you just did, he said, you're dealing with so many different perspectives at one time, and you're just shooting them all.
And I think,
you know,
I mean,
he said, I'm going to get you some meds.
I've never seen this.
So I think that
I just
comes
watched
with,
it.
So I don't
he also
know.
Said,
I don't
what
know,
is wrong
but I assume the word genius. I assume genius, like... like someone like an Albert Einstein, I'm assuming in those kind of situations, his thoughts are scattered and he's bouncing from thought to thought and he's just getting out as much information as
genius.
He possibly can.
That's just, he's all the way outside everybody's box. You know what I mean? So it's like...
I'm sure Kanye feels the same exact way.
Like, nothing's not possible to him. You know what I mean? Like, anything can happen.
That's how Kanye feels.
I went from here and I got here. Why can't I be him? Why can't I be the greatest of all time? Alexander the Great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nothing's not possible.
I feel he feels that way. I mean, like, I know his thoughts are
and
scattered.
I believe him.
I believe him.
And I'm not saying all of his rants are off. Like, and I don't even call them rants because that sounds negative. I think a lot of stuff Kanye does say does make sense. But coming from my field, I can see the mental health where it's like, man, if we could just manage this a little bit better.
Right.
He may not be as misunderstood because he does come off crazy and he's not always crazy. I don't think that.
I just wish I knew a little bit more about the whole Kim situation because I don't want to, like...
I think just relationship-wise, it was just disrespectful. Stop. Yeah,
no, that's just life.
It's too much. Okay. You're taunting me. You're harassing.
It's too public, and she's been...
I don't want to make light... Like,
she's
make light
protecting
of,
him.
That's
Let's
what I'm saying. I don't want to make light of what he's really doing if he's really, like, being abusive to the situation.
Or I'm threatening.
Not, or threatening or something like
she's
that.
She's on such a level where it's like... Everybody already wants to attack her in general.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you being who you are, and you're basically saying, like, go ahead.
Right. And he
and
has
that's why
attacked.
Nobody cares.
Do y'all remember past tweets years ago? He called Stormy a bee, the little baby a bee. He talked about Kris Jenner's money. Like, when he gets a little bit too manic and starts posting her mom, he starts posting their business, like personal stuff. Yeah, y'all found out he cheated on Kris 6 years. Like, he starts doing stuff like that.
He said, everybody know they made that movie Get Out about me. You know what I'm saying? They tried to get me in the hospital. You know, I was like, oh, okay. Because I went back and
looked. But in those moments, I don't think that's crazy rants. I feel like those are Kanye's feelings, and he's valid in those points. But it's when he goes off like
public.
That. When I watched the documentary, it felt heavy. It felt like, man, my heart was sad watching him decline. I had a whole different perspective because I was mad at Kanye. Like, why are you wilding on the
internet? I ain't seen
like
decline.
This?
I saw nothing but up, up when I watched that.
No, like in one way you see him go up, but then the other way you see him, I feel like,
emotionally, mental aspect.
Dang, like.
Yeah, when he left his boy and he, for five numbers. Yeah,
that works for me.
Like, what about when you like really want to talk about something? You got something on your heart.
Don't talk to me.
You have people to go to when you're like, man, I'm really struggling today.
I feel like y'all talk to each
other. Like that little pep talking. No,
me and him do. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. We definitely.
So y'all have a balance. It's not always go F yourself and go shoot a ball.
No, it's 100%.
No, but I mean, you can always see it. You know what I'm saying? Like when there's something really going on, I'm reaching out.
He just wrote down on me last week.
Yeah. Like when we really got to talk about something, I have numerous friends that I can reach out to, family members as well. It's just,
but don't talk soft to me.
Most of the time,
talk direct.
Right.
There's a way to still talk direct and still be open.
The thing is, it's easy. It's so easy to talk about feelings. It's all about like how do you start those conversations,
right?
Because I mean, once you get going, I mean, you can go crazy after that. But it's just like, what do you say to like make them understand that you're really going through something?
Like,
you know what I mean?
Friends?
Like, I literally got to like tell Job to chill 3 times. And he's like, oh.
Slide me in the chest.
Oh.
Hey, so no, seriously,
I
got
to really talk.
You're wilding.
No, I really
need to chill the fuck
that
out.
That makes it sound like
And then after the initial pap, hey, you're wilding. Chill the fuck out. Then it's like, are you okay? You know what I mean? I'm like, man, I'm sure.
See, and I feel like people need to feel safe, though. I feel like I'm trying to talk to you, and you keep doing, I'm not going to want to talk to you after a while. Mm. Like, people need to feel safe. Like, all right, I'm going to call Sauna. I need to talk to you. Sauna, when Sauna can see I'm serious, she's like, all right, Net, talk. I'm not going to come at you hard. Like, what do you want to talk about?
Right, let them
blow. Let me, like, I feel like people need to feel safe emotionally to do that.
Is time
like I'm not going to be judged, or they're not going to tell me just to get over it. They're not going to tell me what to do. You know, like, I feel like if you don't feel safe.
Ty has several. Probably with friends, but I feel like Ty is your safe space.
You think that?
Yeah. Damn. You might have more, but I don't know anybody else who even feels like, I feel like me personally, until the pod, I'm like, Job's never sad. Job just, everything rolls off.
Job's never happy.
But usually for me.
That's what I'm saying. I never think about that though. You know what I'm saying? But once I got to the pod, I'm like, dang, like, Job's human. I'm like, Job is actually human.
He's about to cry.
Okay, so like right now, hold on. So in a moment like this, hold on, because I know it's funny. Why is it okay to laugh if he felt like he wanted to cry? Why is that okay to make a joke about?
That's how we used to get through.
If Job cries.
But listen.
Boy. Like,
but listen, why is it easier to say, oh man, this nigga about to laugh, and I mean, he's about to cry, instead of saying, Job, like, do you need this moment to like really process what's happening right now?
This is the worst podcast I've ever had.
Is that awkward? Is that weird?
Yeah, I know. Why should you put this in her place though?
I feel like it's easier for me to laugh at you and be like, oh man,
you grab my arm.
Man, you sad. Instead of saying like, you want to talk?
I think laughing at first is like,
it breaks the ice a little bit.
Yeah. It kind of lets me know. Like, I'm
get a little more perspective.
Exactly.
Like,
no, I'm just trying to. I'm
not
trying to
get
like,
away from my feeling and look
hey,
down.
Are you serious? Are you serious right now? So I'm laughing.
If you are, then we get. Then we get back.
That's how you gauge it.
How I gauge it. Yeah. Like, okay. I'm starting here with a laugh. If you really start crying, then I'm like, oh.
And that's y'all's friendship. Y'all can
bro's
do
crying.
That.
Bro's crying. Let me go ahead and reach out. You know, grab his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Whereas, like, if I had a client that sat on my couch and I could see they're about to cry, I could never. They would never come back. They would no longer feel safe. They would be like, my therapist is making jokes while I'm sitting here falling apart in front of them.
You all right?
Now, see, I love stuff like this. This is a moment. That's a moment.
Hey, we just ended racism.
That's right a moment.
That's one of me right there.
I think my problem with mental health has always been because of the way we grew up. Like, when people have something going on and it becomes somewhat of an excuse for them. I think we've always been taught.
Oh, it's a crutch.
No matter what it is. Mm-hmm.
But everybody does that.
Get to the root of it and try to find a way past it. Like, and I'll give a specific example.
It's not that easy.
Ann Esther, a few years ago, had a moment.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
She had a moment where she kept calling everybody, saying, yo, I got these bugs. They're biting me. They're biting me. They're biting me.
Sucks.
Hear me out. Hear me out, Joe. So Ann Esther was calling us, saying, yo, there's bugs. They're biting me. There's a red one, there's a white one, and there's a black one. So we go up there.
It was a white one tripping?
It was all from her carpet. It was all little carpet pieces. And she was she had paper towels everywhere. She was covering the bugs. She thought that they were crawling and biting her. Mentally, she went somewhere.
Yeah, she was struggling.
Now, eventually,
and
I don't...
fought herself all the way
out. Yeah, but
that's
different, though.
No, it's not. And hear me out. This is just how we were raised, right? So somebody, I don't know who it was able to pierce what she couldn't see and be like, I need you to hear me right now. You know, if you'd be like, yo, bro, you're drunk. Am I really drunk? Like, somebody was able to get through to her to where she's like, okay, I am tripping. Let me figure this out. Get to the bottom of it. We ain't heard of it since. It's been about 10 years.
Right.
She ain't been 10. She's like 10, yeah. 6, yeah, 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 maybe.
Been
five.
About 6? Okay.
Yeah, it's been like 6.
But still that, alive, though, right?
That's how, yeah, it's still alive. But that's
strong.
How that's how it's been with everything. Like, when they tried to give me pills when I was a kid, you know what I mean? When they talked back.
Who gave you pills?
When the teacher sat eyesight? Down and was like, this young man, to my parents, this young man ain't going to be nothing. If you don't give him the right medications, my mom was always like, yo, it doesn't matter what they say, just get to work hard. You got to double down. You got to double down. Double down. You know what I'm saying? That's how we are. Even with grieving, double down. Get to the bottom of it. Figure it out. So
that's
my,
how I've always been.
My issue has always been when someone has a mental health or emotional issue, and right. Now it's like, well, I can't because I have this.
Because I have this.
Or yes. This.
I just had this conversation today with someone, and it's just like.
It's like, I am this.
Oh, people crave that. They crave a diagnosis. People right. That don't want to work on the stuff. They crave,
and
like,
I think
man,
that's just
I'm
like,
so
you gotta
depressed.
Be, you got to be doing whatever you possibly can to get out of this hole.
Right.
And I struggle with that as a therapist. Like, when my people come in, I'm like, let's get to work. And then I have to give people space too, though. Everybody's not going to do it the way they're not going
to
do it in 3 months.
Right,
they're not
going to
do it in 6 months.
Like, yo, come on, just get to the work.
And I have to be like, man, correct. This is hard
I already
for
know
me
what's going on.
To give you time to figure out that you can actually get through.
Because you're already ready. You're like, man, I could have been out of this hole in like.
As soon as they come in, by the end of the session, I'm like, all right, I see the goals. And then I'm like, wait. That's not okay. They need to really work through and figure out on their own.
Do you ever hit them with
that? And you got to get that paper, too. So give them that slow
that's
ride.
That's what I'm saying. How much does she charge an hour? What are we doing? You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, yo, I think we need like another like 6 sessions.
For the budget.
Do you ever hit them with a, listen, you're going to come in here, you're going to say this, you're going to say this, you're going to say this, and then about 10 weeks from now, I'm going to break through. We can skip those whole 10 weeks right now if you just listen to me. You ever hit them with that, or is that too fast for people?
No.
I don't think people in therapy want to be talked to. They just want to talk.
But I will say there
I would
are
hate
some
those
people.
You could, no, but you could
or
talk
just,
her
or
through
just,
anything.
Just be right. Heard.
Listen, one thing.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Hey, one thing I do want to learn
goes
from Imani.
Goes back to validation. That
one thing I do want to learn from Imani from Imani's episode. We would ask questions and then we would talk. Imani barely had time to talk, so I wanted to mention that. So when we ask
and
her
she
questions,
kept grabbing the mic.
We have to all we have to let her talk. And
that's my friend. Shout out to Girl with Hustle. I love you.
Fuck off.
So anyways, I don't remember what the question was. Do you remember what the question was?
Who asked the question?
I guess we were just talking about, he said clients normally want to come there to talk. They probably really don't
they
even
do.
Want
to. 90% of my clients.
No, and what
like,
he said, they just want
anybody.
To be heard. That's what he said.
They do. 90% of my clients be like, I ain't got nobody to talk to. Man, I try to tell them.
Imagine
they don't understand
that,
me. They don't want to listen to me. They're not responding. They just don't let me sit and talk about myself like you're letting me right now. I'm like, this is your time, like your hour. I don't just let people go off and just ramble.
That's the bar. And she got a whole degree behind it?
That's
just go
bar.
To Evergreen. You mean like,
just, no, I want people to come to me because if you're coming, you're coming with intention to work.
Yeah, with a...
Because I don't want to just have a conversation with people. That's different.
And,
I've had people come.
And I think it's way different. I mean, you probably can attest to this. I think it's totally different when you can reach out to somebody that you have no ties to, really.
Mm. They love that.
Yeah, it's different.
Because me, I can still give you false truth. You know what I mean? I can tell you, I can sugarcoat something and tell you like this is this way because I kind of want you to feel a certain
kind
of
like,
way.
Man, you're tripping. Mm-hmm.
When you're going into a situation with a therapist, you're going in there unbiased. She doesn't know anything about your life. Mm. You can go ahead and be as real as possible.
And they love that.
Just
they're
watched
like,
that right before I came here.
They're like, you don't know everything. You're non-judgmental. You're unbiased. Like, you're a third party to all of my stuff. And they feel safe.
Let me ask you. We was telling Imani to go to therapy and shit. But we couldn't tell her how. How the hell do you get to therapy?
So,
walk upstairs?
No, that's this.
Yeah, ain't nobody coming here. You ain't, I ain't doing no therapy here with nobody.
Right. Oh, I thought you
and when she's off the clock,
and that's the thing, I don't do therapy
burnt.
Like with friends or family either. While we were just talking about that, I'll answer your question, but I don't because like I've had a lot of people like, Matt, man, can't you just be my therapist? No, I can't be completely unbiased. Yeah,
somebody
with
got
you.
To talk to AB, right. man. How you gonna leave?
And it's
and
just
not
weird.
Me?
I practiced on my mom and dad and did couples therapy and went upstairs and bawled my eyes out when I was in grad school. I found out stuff I wasn't supposed to know.
Can you tell us that story? What happened? Tell us that story.
I don't even remember. I just remember I started asking. Mommy and daddy questions.
Go back, because people warned you not to do it. Go back to the beginning.
My auntie had told me, my aunt Pest was like, Nat, I don't think it's a good idea. I'm like, man, I just got to get these hours in, because I don't know anybody else to interview. So I did my mom and my dad, and Aunt Pest told me not to. She's like, I don't think this is a good idea. I did it. Sat in the living room. I could see my mom rising, like, and I asked my dad something. He was like, yeah, your mom was a good woman, and, you know, I've done a lot of things wrong. And he said, I can't remember the line he said, but whatever she said. No good. I can't. And just went off. And I remember I said, "I'll be right back." And I went upstairs.
But those are real feelings. Oh, right. Those are real feelings, though.
And, but right.
You have to disassociate.
And you have to realize, right? My mom, and hats off to you, Mom Dukes. There's never been a moment our entire lives where she's ever talked bad about him. There's never been nothing negative said.
We've never had
no ill will towards Price.
My dad was still
giving was a shock.
My mom money, and we're grown adults. Like, if my mom, you want something to eat, I got you. Like, they weren't friends, but he looked out for my mom. My mom looked out.
They bought this bitch piece of jewels.
We still went places
they
together.
He called my mom a bitch. They weren't together.
Oh, shit. My bad.
No, they weren't together, but I always felt like they had a certain kind of rapport with each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was like he was always around. Like, it used to, like, I always was like, are they?
He was just 7 and a half
what's going
afternoon?
On? Why is he here?
He was always around.
He's on
That's
the
why when
couch.
You be trying to say my dad wasn't here,
He's sitting on the couch, and they're not together. I for the life of me, I couldn't understand and compute it on any type of level, because how I know,
right.
if you're not together, kids go with me.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Kids go with me on these days.
Saw your dad.
Kids go with yous on these days.
Didn't know anybody was related to anybody. I was like, there's just a guy that
he was around.
He was like this. He was like, she's sitting right there. He's sitting right there. He's older. I don't know what's going on. None of my business.
She's actually older than him.
And pearled. You know what I mean?
So I
thought it was a friend or like some church shit.
I did the session with him, and I think I asked questions that triggered my mom that she wasn't yet healed from. And I learned then in grad school I would never work with people I knew, family. I've talked to people, family and friends.
I think that's why
marriage,
she got cancer.
Do you do anything like with like marriage counseling? Or
you trying to get back? You trying to get back with Joni?
I don't at the moment, but I did. My first couple like got divorced, and so that like scarred me. Like for real, I was in grad school still. It was an internship, and I remember like
swing and miss.
They was fighting, and I was brand new, so I'm like, I'm not assertive yet. Like I don't know. Like you got to jump in. So they just arguing. Like 45 minutes go by, and I ain't saying a word. I'm like, okay, I think she was like, you know what? You suck. And like she slammed the door, and then I had called to reschedule them, and she was like, we got divorced. And I took that like that was my fault.
But that was
why you only let the student nurse take your butt.
After that, I knew though. I knew how to like, all right, you gotta jump in.
You
gotta
can't keep people together though. You know what I mean? Like if it's a rap, it's a rap.
But I've done couples since then, but I don't right now.
Has anybody stayed together?
Yeah. I have a couple of couples that
you
like
saved a marriage.
Yeah,
I don't.
I would say about
it.
3 or 4 at this point.
Ooh.
And I'm proud of myself.
What is your college degree?
So my bachelor's from Geneva is in psychology, and my master's is in marriage tired? And family therapy counselor education.
Bro, shut up! God dang, can you please say it again?
So my bachelor's is in psychology. My master's is in master's of education counseling, marriage and family therapy. Counselor education. Did I say that?
God dang.
It's a long
they had to put it on two pages.
When we run her back, she said all that, and you told me to shut up.
While you were talking.
No, I said one little bar, and that was it.
While you were talking.
Bullshit. Ty, I ain't one of them little dudes, man.
Okay, so this is how you can find a therapist, though. So people ask me all the time in my inbox. You can ask therapists, but I feel like it's hard for me to find therapists for people. You can go right on Google, and you can type in therapist in your area, or you can go to Psychology Today, and there's literally like a therapist locator for all over the country.
Where are you located at?
I'm located in Pittsburgh on the address is 4721 McKnight Road. I'm right across the street from Red Lobster.
Drop the number.
I don't know it off by heart.
Hilarious.
I will give you my business number. I don't know it off by heart.
Drop the
how do you pay for website? Therapy?
The number is
so some people
right here.
Some people go through
yeah, wherever it's coming across the
right
banner.
Right here, that's the number.
412. Hold on, I still don't know it. 204-6890. I'm only taking like three more people though. So
you booked up. What's the cap? 100, 120, 150?
Clients?
An hour.
No, I'm talking about yearly, annual.
How many clients?
No, annual income.
An hour.
150. What's your
relax?
What do you project?
Relax.
Do I,
relax.
Do I want to share
relax.
This? I don't no, think no, I'm
what
sure.
What are you projecting for 2022?
Yeah, let's all relax. All right.
I will definitely say it's above 100,000.
That's thorough.
That's all I'll say.
That is.
How do you
put up?
How do you pay for it?
So people can do it through their insurance. Insurance sometimes will cover it completely. You have a copay, or some people pay out of pocket. Like I have some people that pay me just straight whatever my fee is.
Because I know a lot of people don't go and get checked up medically because they don't either have insurance or they like
just don't have the money to do it.
I'm paying all these co fees and then I got to pay $600 for all these scans and they didn't even really tell me nothing. Job went to go get something checked out and they gave him some bull crap answers. Didn't even really give him nothing.
True story.
Same thing for me.
True story.
I've been at the health hub for the last year. They've been helping me way more than doctors could. So like
you ain't getting paid.
Trying to. I was going to save this for our other interview, but trying to get people there, like how, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I want to know this, literally. Is there anything that you can guarantee from therapy? Is there anything that you can tell us, like, before walking in, like, I'm going to receive this? I might not get all the answers that I want, but is there something that I'm going to be able to receive walking in?
From the process of therapy.
From the process of therapy.
I feel like you're going to leave out insightful. You're going to leave out with a different perspective. And if you got anxiety and you work with me, we're going to overcome your anxiety for sure. That's a guarantee.
Can we talk anxiety?
That's a guarantee?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like because I've had some anxiety, I've suffered with it. Like, I don't just come from this textbook of like, all right, we're going to do this coping mechanism. We're going to do this. Like, I feel like when I start to tell people what I went through and we work through these skills and in the moment I'm doing stuff, talk to my clients?
Yeah.
Talk to them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I talk to my clients.
Oh, I thought they'd talk to you.
No, I also talk. It's a collaborative effort in therapy. So back in 2017, I've preached about this too. So I had like a real bad, I also think there was like a spiritual component. Anxiety like hit me when I say in grad school, I had like one panic attack ever. Like I think I was just overwhelmed and struggling. That's when I first discovered like, yo, something feels different. This is tight. That's my first experience with anxiety. But in 2017,
panic attack.
I couldn't eat. I couldn't go to work. I remember I went to work. I woke up one morning and I was like, Ma, I don't feel right. I went to work and I remember I sat at the front desk. I cried. I was like, I gotta go. I don't know what's wrong with me, but my body is like something electric is happening and I can't stop whatever's happening. And they was like, fine, say less, come back whenever you need to. And I went to Aunt Esther. I was like, I need you to pray. Something's wrong. I feel crazy. I feel insane. My mind is running. There's all these thoughts happening and I feel like I can't see. I'm scared to go across a bridge. I'm scared to get on a plane. Like I had no idea what happened. And this went on for like a week or two. I lost, I think, 15 pounds, got really, really sick. And then I remember I sat at home. I would be up all night. Sleep during the day, wait till my mom got home from work because I was still living at home and I'd be like, Mom, I need you to rub my back like I'm not okay. Like my mom was like doing this to help me go to sleep at night, like a baby, like burping me like this. And she was like, I'll make you some hot milk, you know, so just to make sure you can go to sleep. I couldn't eat anything, da 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 da. So, you know, obviously I'm spiritual, so I'm praying like, God, what is this? Reveal what this is, da 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 da. And I was speaking to a preacher and she was like, I think you're dealing with fear. Like there's something here with the spirit of fear. And I'm like, oh, bet, say less. If you say fear, I'm going to figure out a way to conquer this because like I'm a therapist. I even consider like, I think I should go to the fourth floor. And I'm like, I can't though, because I have clients up there. Like what does it look like if I go to the fourth floor?
Yeah.
And you know, they're going to be like, well, are you working today? Like, are you here to see me? And I'm like, no, that's
why don't you just talk to yourself?
All right, therapy you. Lay down on your own couch. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and I was like,
talk that shit out.
That's not my option. Like, I can't go. So I remember I sat in my room and I'm like, whatever I got to do to get through this. And so long process, long story short, like I did like a brain detox. I really got into like toxic thought patterns and
what the fuck does that even mean?
We'll go there. Finish and we'll come back.
So I, in between all of this, like I know coping skills, right? I know how to do grounding. Have you guys ever heard of like grounding skills?
Mm-hmm. Talking about like wires in the ground, like they ground.
So like that's the only thing I know. like literally,
he said, yeah. I was like, I know he don't know.
No. I said no.
He said he's on my ground. Oh. Was hidden. grounders.
So I teach a lot of my clients grounding skills. So there's coping skills where you learn lifelong things that help you take
coping,
care of yourself.
Okay.
There's coping, but there's also grounding. So that's
coping.
In the moment, like when you feel like, man, I feel like my anxiety is rising and I'm not okay. Like I need to catch my breath. You do grounding skills, stuff that gets you to distract yourself, stuff that gets your heart rate down, that gets your nervous system calm, gets tension out of your body.
Again,
right?
You posted about that too. Like, ask yourself these certain questions.
Yeah,
just to love
dumb.
Yourself out.
They seem silly. Like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What are 5 things I see in the room? What are 4 things I can hear? Like when you do that, you're teaching your brain
distract
to kind of
brain.
Shift back to like calm down just a little bit.
I can relate.
So that's why they call it grounding. But so I couldn't do any of that. Oh God.
No, like when you're having,
I'm
waiting
till she's done.
About to get off.
Oh, so you ground yourself so you don't
ground yourself. Okay, so
you ground
I don't...
yourself, like when you're having sex, you ground yourself.
Thinking about baseball, thinking about your grandma.
This is not what happened.
That makes sense,
Beethoven,
maybe.
Beethoven.
That's good advice you gave, Tyler.
Good advice, good advice.
Yeah, listen.
Okay.
He heard what he wanted to hear, but you take it how you need it.
So I'll be grounded.
Hey, Ty, I'm over here like this.
Ew, stop it. What is
looking
that?
Looking at Tony's post like, just distracted.
I hate it. But, so in 2017, I couldn't do those things. Like, I couldn't cope. Everything I knew how to do, breathe and count down, go for a walk, nothing was like taking this electric out of my body. And I remember to lady that I had watched on TV years ago. She's a Christian neuroscientist. So they did research on the brain and toxic thoughts. And she has a brain detox program where it teaches you how like 7 days, 20 to 21 days, you do a habit. And it's a program that you follow where you're literally focusing on your thoughts. Every time a negative thought pops up, you have to challenge it with some other thought, whether it's a song, whether it's a scripture, whether it's something. Basically CBT, which I do, cognitive behavioral therapy, where you challenge your thought patterns.
CBT.
And so I did that. And I was like, I'm not getting any better. I'm like, I'm at day 20. Like, why am I still anxious? I'm back to work at this point, but I'm still like terrified of everything. Mm-hmm. I'm terrified to drive. It's freezing outside and I have the heat blast. I mean, it's freezing outside and I can't have the heat on because the heat makes me think my head's about to explode. Like, I just thought I was going to die. All of that. And I did her brain detox, but I did 3 cycles of 21 days because it's really not 21
days. What does that
even
mean though? You said brain detox. Like,
so
what do you mean?
What I just said, where when a thought pops
just
up,
positive,
like
everything
actual,
negative, you challenge it.
That has to be
positive.
So mentally
but
exhausting.
But there's literally
it's work. I'm going
you
to sleep.
Grind.
But there was literally a sequence. Like hers is not what I do with my clients in therapy. But like step one, you sit before yourself. You get quiet for 2 minutes. You write what every thought is happening. You write every thought down that's coming up for you right now. All right. With that, I sit there.
Sounds
I go
like
back.
Snitching.
I read it again, and then I pick 6 things that I'm going to challenge with throughout the day. Every time a thought
you mean
pops
if there's
up,
6 thoughts.
Yeah. However many thoughts you have, you have something to challenge. So my thoughts were, oh my God, I have a headache. I'm having an aneurysm. So every time that aneurysm would pop up, I'd have to say, okay, I'm not having an aneurysm. I'm going to be okay. I know that stuff doesn't sound like it's significant.
No, makes sense.
Stuff that I do.
Yeah.
90 times a day. And my mom thought I was crazy because I had an alarm on my phone set for every 3 minutes because like, every 3 minutes, I was like back at it, like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. Mom, am I crazy? Mom, what's wrong? Mom, something's wrong with my chest. Every 3 minutes, I had a reminder, condemn every toxic thought, cast it down. Like, I'm using scripture, I'm using whatever I know how to do. And eventually, like, they talk about how anxiety causes inflammation in your brain. There's no room for anything else. You can't bring positivity
in. Go ahead.
What?
Nothing. I had this crazy.
Keep going. Keep going.
Inflammation in the head.
She said
like,
several things where I want to check you on.
God.
Go ahead.
Inflammation in the head, but go ahead.
But that's what anxiety is. It causes swelling. It causes inflammation. So I did 3 cycles of doing this exercise 20,000 times a day for 76 days. Because 21 days was not enough for me to cut it. I'm like, I'm better, but I'm not where I'm not Tonette anymore. Like, I don't feel the same way. Da, 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 da. So after I did 76 days, I sat back and then I went through. I'm like, yo, you thought terrible before. Like, how did you ever live with these negative, toxic thoughts of every time a thought pops up, oh, my God, it's the worst possible case scenario. Oh, this
everything's over the top.
All of these over.
Everything is like, oh, I just irrational. Thought about I'm with my boy. Mm-hmm. The feds is going to come in.
And you know those
oh, with my
names.
Sister, she coughed.
Yep.
This bitch is fitting to die. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, everything is just so over the top. Mm-hmm. You're basically explaining an anxiety attack. Have you guys ever experienced this?
No. Not anxiety, no.
Horrible. Bruh,
I had to pull over my car.
Horrible.
I'm on the side of 51, not 51, what's that, past New Brighton, whatever it is. I squeezed my fingers together, and they felt like twigs. And I was like, I'm looking outside, I see the train going by, and I was like, that's the fastest train I've ever seen. Everything is just
so
through the roof crazy.
So Wiz, craziest scenario ever. Wiz, he called me. He's on a plane. He called me, bro, I got to talk to you.
I had to calm him down.
I'm going through it. I said, man, shut up.
That's what we
and
do.
And he banged on me.
Yeah.
Because he needed to call somebody else.
Because he literally.
He in was, that moment, you're like this. I need something
when
right
he,
now.
When he banged on me, I had to call him back because I then I realized it was serious.
I missed his call.
Then I realized it was serious and I was like, oh, bro, you're all right. Everything is good, man. Mm-hmm. Like out of nowhere, because it wasn't about flying because he flies all the time. He's just like, right. I don't know what's going on with my body right now. I feel mm-hmm. like I'm about to pass out. And I literally didn't give him what he needed at first because I just don't know how to deal with those emotions.
Because how we are.
I was like, man, you're fine, bro. What are you talking about? And he literally hung up on me immediately. And I'm like,
do you ever just randomly like feel like an anxiety, like just not even anxiety, just like
overwhelmed
today, something like that, and you just drop down and do push-ups?
That's good.
And then you just bang them out. And just that's like, good. Let me get squirted. Like, boom, 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 boom.
That's good. Right. The amygdala, and it takes it down. Your brain, the amygdala is your fear center. When that gets triggered, that's A-M-Y-G-D-A-L-A.
Stop feeding into this shit. Just keep going. Keep going.
She keeps falling for everything.
So what I do is it's comfort food and bedtime. Mm. But in those moments, I'm like, this is only going to last for a certain amount of time.
You talk it through.
Like I know there's always going to be an end to this situation.
This ain't tomorrow. Like, this ain't tomorrow.
Both of these are just grounding things that they're doing. Like his is push-ups.
Self-talk.
Grounding.
That's
his
grounding.
This is going to pass. Grounding.
Hey. Yeah,
good luck, cuz. But yeah, because I do the similar. Where I might just chill and be like, fall back, man. You know what I mean? You wilding right now. You know what I mean? I start talking to myself. And then eventually come down.
Yep. Those are all grounding techniques. It's anything to get your mind calm.
Me, I think those are reasons why when it comes to mental illness.
Where are we at?
I don't really have that
empathy.
That empathy for it.
Because
I don't
have experience.
Because no, you don't have the capacity.
I'm always gonna grind it out. I'm gonna do whatever it takes. Right. I'm not gonna be miserable.
And
I'm not gonna be miserable. I don't care what nobody says. Like when something's going on in my head, I'm going to do whatever I can do mm-hmm. to release that from me. So,
and that's what the mindset should always be.
So when other people don't do it, I can't relate to it.
And we have to accept that. Like, I can still be kind to you even though you're not going to take care and do what you need to do, but I'm not going
to. We're not saying we're not kind to that or we don't, like, we're unfamiliar with it. Like, we get it. We see what happens. You know what I'm saying?
But how do we respond to those people?
That's what I struggle with.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I can still be like, all right, you don't want.
I struggle with my response. I struggle with my response to it because I'm just like, come on, man.
If I tell you to go fuck yourself and be like, listen, what you need to do is you need to get up tomorrow, do some shit, get your shit together. We're going to do this. I'm going to see you later.
If that don't work, do more. Mm-hmm. Do more. Whatever it takes. If that didn't work that day,
jump rope.
The next day, do more.
So
I feel like in those moments, I'm good at empathizing with people, giving them quick advice. And either they take it or they don't.
So can you also ask people, like, instead of feeling like you have to solve it, like, what do you need right now? Like, sometimes I just sit in my clients and they're looking at me and they're struggling. I'm like, what do you think you need right now? And for a minute, they're like, man, that's why I'm here. Like, you tell me. And I'm like, nah, what do you think you need? And eventually they're like, honestly, I need a hug. Like, honestly, I just need somebody to tell me that I'm okay. And I'm like, yeah, you figured that out. Like, I don't always have to solve stuff for people. Am I not talking in the mic? Sorry. So, like, I feel like when people come to us, we always think we got to help them solve. And that's the hard part I struggle with as a therapist because I want to solve it. But sometimes people just need to figure it out and sit in it for a minute.
I feel
sit
like
in
that's
the
most
uncomfortable
people.
Stuff. Right. Sit in anxiety.
It really is because that's why they're here. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly why they're here. And I know that I feel like that would drive me crazy because I'm like, why do we got to go through all this? Bro, there's some solutions that you could get to. Just, right. You know what I mean? You got to find your way. Job's is push-ups, his is this, mine's is this, that's yours. You know what I'm saying? Whatever extreme you got to, you set 3-minute timers.
Right.
That's what's fire about that. Like, you just didn't say, let me go to the doctors, get some meds, and nothing against meds. But you put a strategy in place to fight back.
And that's
how can I fight back? Fight
that's
back.
That's literally
back.
Doing whatever you can possibly do to
desperation.
Down to three minute increments.
That demon in you.
Right.
And like, I knew because I'm a therapist, I'm like, I got to go back to work. Like, I cannot function like this at all. I have to go back to work. So
how
I
do you carry that
out?
Though? Like, from one client to another, like, from getting their baggage and being like, wipe the slate clean.
I think experience,
you don't.
You learn. You learn to compartmentalize.
How do you not carry that with you, though, like later on?
I feel like I do at times. Some people.
No, you don't.
Some people, I put it in a pocket.
I see you after your clients and you're wiped and you're exhausted. You're wiped and you're exhausted. And I'm.
And I do this.
I could just see you just like.
But at least you have to decompress though. That means something though.
That means
it's all like she's outside like, yeah, what up, dude? Right. You know what I mean? At least she has to like be like, oh, I took that in. Right. I took that serious. Let me decompress.
But that got
to
be so emotionally exhausting.
How do you decompress after each one? Because what do you like get off at like 1:45 and then you got another one at 2?
So I need to do better. I'm not that healthy with that. I literally will see people back to back to back to back to back. And I make my own schedule and I don't have to do that. I'm learning. I need at least 10 to 15 minutes or an hour in between some clients. So I'm not that good at that yet.
I need you to get better because in my opinion, I think that's why my mother caught cancer.
And the reason why Story's got anxiety right now because
my niece don't have anxiety. Don't speak that over her life.
Story ain't got no anxiety. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I mean, he went hard, so I went hard.
I rebuke you, Satan.
That's right. In the name of Jesus Christ.
So who does a therapist reach out to?
Like ooh. Me? Myself?
Yeah.
My friends. My brother.
Another therapist? No,
that is somebody that you know. Like,
you mean like if I want therapy?
If you want therapy.
Oh, therapy.
Yeah, but I got all the answers.
I have a therapist. And I've had therapists in the past. Like right after my mom passed, I went to therapy. And then maybe in the summertime last year, I started going back to therapy just to work through all the changes of transitioning and realizing there's some relationship stuff I need to work on and deal with.
Are you a terrible client?
Mm. At first, I was. I didn't want to talk. I remember one time I showed up and she was like, what do you want to do today? And I'm like, nothing. She was like, Tonette, you're a therapist. I'm like, I don't want to feel and I don't want to talk and I'm going to cry. And then as soon as I said it, I started crying. So I think in the beginning I was, but now. So I'll share this. The place that I work with now, I don't work for them. I work with these amazing, amazing therapists. I mean like LGBTQ, black, white, everything. Like when I say the dopest therapist I've ever met, like every time I meet with them, I cry because they challenge me to like, Tonette, deal with your, like, you don't got to be tough here. You don't got to be the therapist here, the preacher here. You don't have to be perfect here. You get to just like be. Mm-hmm. And when they tell me that, I'd be like, okay, so like I have this and this. And they're like, yeah, we want that. We want to know you. We want to see you. So I was terrible in therapy in the beginning, for sure.
But how do you deal with this? Being as religious as you are and being a therapist, like nobody shares your same views all the way across the board. Right. So it's like, how do you handle, I'm not going to give you religious bullshit. I'm going to give you advice or whatever. Like, how do you split that up?
Because I know them niggas that don't know Jesus, they probably don't ever change.
Got a couple
the ones that want to engage and like, hey, I'm a Christian and I want to talk about stuff with
people. So you don't even bring it up, basically. No.
A lot of people don't even know I'm a Christian, like unless they decide to ask me. And I don't do that to hide it. I make sure people feel safe because initially if I say I'm a Christian therapist, like I'm pretty sure any clients that I have that are trans or homosexual
will
be
like,
I'm good. And one of my clients actually told me not too long ago, he was like, you're not like them. Like I've been hurt by like Christians, my family. And he was like, you have given me a completely different perspective. Like you're accepting and you haven't judged me once. And I'm like, that's what I want. That's why I don't tell people initially who I am and what I do.
That's good.
Because they'll be like, nope, we're good. Nope, she's going to do the same thing. And I'm like, no, I'm really not going
to
do that.
Well, you know, get that devil inside you. You need to get
out of you. It's hard for a lot of people. It's hard for a lot of people.
I would never say that.
Right, that'd be so crazy. That'd be wild, right?
From their job.
It really is.
Or beyond the job, just their moral beliefs, period. Like, it's just hard to, like, not give people what you believe in. Whatever you believe in, you want people to, on a certain kind of level, feel that way. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel the same way as them?
Who?
Like Christian, like that's what you want? Like if you had, are you religious? I assume they are.
Oh, you know I am. I ain't got no problem saying that. Yeah, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior.
Am I religious?
Yeah, I'm not religious.
I'm not religious. I don't think I could say that I'm religious.
What's your definition of religious?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to ask. Like, what do you think religious is?
To me is you follow a body of
all
people.
All I know is Christianity. That's all I know. So right. I don't know anything else.
But that doesn't completely
so
just
are they
make
Christians,
that doesn't just
asking.
Make you religious. Religious is following
a body,
a group of people you follow, a doctrine, a way of life.
I could be religious. I think I could if I found someone who gave it to me how I want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. What?
Like speaks in your language, makes sense to you.
Yes. So
I think that's any religion, I thoroughly enjoy
hearing Tonette speak.
Aw, praise God.
But there's because she gives the young perspective And that's what I need.
She just talks normal.
She talks normal. That's what I need. I mean, I literally, when I hear her talk up there, I'm like, oh, I hear and I understand everything that you're saying up there.
But you don't go to church.
I don't. Unless she says, unless she texts me and says, hey, I'm speaking here.
They kicked me out of their fucking mom's funeral, bro.
I told you, I don't know why you got up. You said, I'm being nice. You did not have to get up.
Man, it was so many people in there.
Then people came in late.
Everybody just kept looking at me like, off brand, off brand, off brand. And I was like,
Was that anxiety triggered for you and that's why you got
Pearled.
That was anxiety.
I'm outside the window listening to you bark on the mic.
I was so mad that you went outside. You did not have to do that. Yeah, you were supposed to be in there with us. Did you know Miss Stevie snotted on mommy though? So Miss Stevie is standing, rest in peace, Miss Stevie too. She's standing over mommy and I went up and like, Miss Stevie was like, Janetta. She was doing all that and she started snotting. I said, hey, you snotting on my mama.
Let me get that.
I was like, Miss Stevie, you gotta go.
I couldn't believe God took mom and I'm.
Hey, we don't do that. Don't do that. I don't like that.
Hey, that's that fucked up type of humor.
Before we get out of here, I just want to know how much.
Oh, no, 100%.
There's got to be a process.
How much y'all preachers be taking from the people?
What you mean taking? I don't take anything.
Tithes, motherfucker.
Like, they'll give you an offering and say, here, this is what, you know, people gave, but like, there's no.
They close doors in certain churches.
Nice cars.
I work for everything I got.
What's your theory on
it? You don't have to pay taxes.
It's called blessed.
If you ever look, a lot of preachers have their own businesses too. Like, I think people are ignorant of, like, a lot of these preachers are entrepreneurs.
No, no. If you run a church, you put it under LLC and you are a religious exemption, you don't have to pay taxes.
Yeah, but a lot of pastors don't take any money from the church.
I was just playing.
No, man.
But I wanted to circle back to something Joe was talking about. You were talking about overthinking, worst case scenario, like, oh my God, they're going to put him in jail. Those are actually called something. Like, thinking traps, irrational thought patterns have names, like catastrophizing, thinking the worst possible thing. People that have like real bad social anxiety, like, oh my God, if I start talking, they're going to think I'm dumb. Like, that's called mind. Like, people need to know that those are real things. And that's what I teach.
When you say people, you mean me.
No, people with anxiety. Like, when I start telling clients that, they're like, yo, I do that all the time.
It's called conviction.
This fucking jackass right here.
I'm telling you, therapy is beautiful.
Listen, I've been looking for the last few months. Because this is the most fire part to me. Swear to God, it's the most fire part that we've had.
Aww.
For me. I'm literally about to go to therapy.
Right.
Solely because I'm so emotionally
detached.
You're going
to have to tell Ned who you fucked.
I'm so emotionally detached from people.
What did you say?
He is.
I am. I just don't, I don't feel.
And you want to
But you have.
Why
but you have
is.
This crazy yeah, positive outlook on life. I'm on house arrest. This motherfucker moves in with me. And I'm looking at him like, bro, what you going to do? What's up? And he was like, he just looks at me and goes, it's going to work out. Why are you always so worried?
Yeah, that's
and then just leaves
like.
For the night, and I'm like, "What the fuck is going on?" I was like,
"Like,
I was like he's
like,
not worried."
And then I'm just like, yeah,
"About
I'm
gas, about
job,
anything? Like, he's not worried about anything." He was
so,
just like, "He was like, you always so worried."
I have a question. So, is there like any trauma in your past, like childhood? And again, when I say trauma, people think that means you've seen somebody get shot, you've been raped. That's just not what that means. It can mean anything bad has happened that's impacted you.
You don't have
so, I don't know. I don't know if it's really trauma, like. Literally, everything was so normal.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know if you can consider it trauma.
That's
like maybe,
what makes it trauma when it seems normal. You know what I'm saying? When you start,
okay.
What
when
you mean?
Move, when you move to a nice, when people used to say, oh, Beaver Falls is so bad. And we're like, no, it's not. Because
mad regular.
Because seeing fiends and drunks and true. Fights and shootings is just normal. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's really not normal. You know what I'm saying?
It's not normal.
So somewhere, trauma can kick in because you've just buried it. You found a way to put it to the side and move forward every time. You know what I'm saying? That's where trauma can come from.
That happened on that street, and I'm moving on.
But I ask that right. Because so when people have experienced trauma of any kind, we develop what's called trauma responses. So I always use this as an example. A lot of Black women, not even just Black women, women, there's a hyper independence that happens. Like growing up, our moms have taught us don't depend on no man. And then say you have all these failed bad relationships where you couldn't depend on a man. A lot of women have this attitude of, I don't need nobody's help. I can do it on my own. But then I'm mad at y'all because you didn't help me either. So my response now is, don't help me with nothing. No, I'll clean the car. I'll lift the car on my own and I don't need you. But now I think you're a no good. Sorry, am I not saying?
No, drop
saying
that.
Nigga?
Damn, drop motherfucker.
I'm like, it was
seven. And I'm white. I'm like you should have ran through that one.
But that's a trauma response. Emotional detachment can be a response because like maybe I was hurt and the feeling was I was squashed. I wasn't allowed to express myself in a family growing up. Like a lot of those things are developed out of trauma.
Well, we were never in a an expressive kind of family.
So that might
like we were, but
there's probably trauma there.
That's not expressive,
and it might not even be trauma.
You've never given your mom a hug. There's trauma there.
No. I have.
No.
As adults.
He has, though.
As adults.
He has.
Okay.
As adults.
We're going to go even deeper.
I know that was a joke, but.
No. Trust me, I got it.
That doesn't mean it has to be trauma. It might just mean, like, do you know how to be emotionally available and not to
I touch? Don't. So, like.
Right. You didn't see
I didn't think it. I didn't think it was weird. I mean, it was like, hey, yo, Ty, happy birthday. Here's $20. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, that's how our birthdays are.
That's normal.
So I don't understand and know how to celebrate certain things and
to embrace it and to be like, yeah. Hey, what's up, man? Let's so, do
like
something.
Murd, like Murd does something good. I'm like, hey, yo, boy, I see you.
You know what I mean?
And that's it. Instead of just giving him his flowers.
Are
you
willing to like learn new ways and unlearn that?
No, he's not. He just pressed me last weekend over his dad.
If Ty sees a benefit in changing it, yes.
Yeah, of course. I think we all do.
And
but it's just how we
so
are.
Could
though.
The benefit be it connection?
Sucks going, it sucks going into therapy because how my mind works. I feel like I know what she's going to tell me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sucks.
Because, so like when I'm laying, I'm like she going to say this. I guarantee she's going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
And
you offer,
and I can't receive it how I need to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely something that I would love to try to work on because I'm just like.
So when you say, I know what she's going to say, like, help me understand that a little bit. Like, you know what she's going.
I know. So if I'm sitting down with you and we're talking and you ask me certain questions and I start expressing everything that's going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I know what you're going to then tell me about it. So it's like, why am I here now?
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is just say one thing that I think that I know that you're going to say.
and it's a wrap.
Okay. It's like, damn, I wasted my money. God damn, I wasted my money.
So before you even get in there, you're like, I already know the answers.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready to receive the information. Because
can't nobody tell you nothing about me.
Exactly.
So it sounds to me like you're better at like intellectualizing things. Like logically thinking like the emotion place. Like you said, I can't reach here. This is hard.
He's great at that.
This is the part. You can't get there.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah. I got to work on it. Mm-hmm. I got to work on it. But I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know. Like, is it a stage in my life where I'm just going to be like.
Or is it life?
Time. It's time now. Like, can you go to therapy before you're ready? Like, is it like a situation?
Yeah, I think people have
it a situation? Is it a situation where you can go? Because, you know, like when people are addicted to drugs.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, and they go to.
You got
to
hit rock bottom.
You got to hit rock bottom before
whatever they say. Before exactly, rehab exactly. Or relapse.
You go to rehab and you're not ready to quit. You're not going to quit.
So what you're saying is like you got to damn near be suicidal just to go to therapy.
Like I don't know.
I think ripe. Like RIPE. Like ripe for the work. Like I think you fuck? Can go prematurely where it's like, man, the benefit isn't here because I'm not even accessing what I need to be accessing inside of me. Like I have a client that came to therapy. Ready to work. And like when I say 3 months, anxiety gone, like life completely changed. Like I just met her tonight and we were like,
that shit wasn't real.
This is
me.
A whole year. Like, and she was like, I was ready. She was like, I had nothing left to do. I was at my last point. She's like, right. I came here and started talking and my life changed. Like, so I feel like you can go prematurely.
I feel like we do this though. Like when you come into my house sometimes or like we see each other, like we immediately go from 0 to 100, like,
so boom, 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 boom. It all depends. And, it all depends because, like, I definitely give easily the most emotions to Job for sure. Like when I'm going through,
and it's responsive. It's like this. It's like boom, 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 boom. And it's like, yeah, man. And we say the wildest shit to each other.
Like what's going on with our kids, our nephews, blah, blah, blah. Like mm-hmm. I can give it super
my
raw,
actual feelings,
actual feelings about what's going on. Like
and just 100%. Blow down and just be like,
so
all right,
that's
we
not
out.
Detached all the time.
Yeah, but I know for a fact, totally. I see him in public, I see how he moves around. He doesn't give that type of, he don't even give me that type of time unless it's serious.
I don't.
Then he walks down on me, he'd be like this, I'll hear.
So it's only like when it's like crisis mode, you can access it.
Yes.
No, not even that, but even when, even when we're hanging
these guys
around.
These guys know, like, as soon as I go through something real,
mm-hmm.
I'll come straight down them steps and it's like right now.
Mm-hmm.
I got to talk about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Carter did, he said something.
In this
situations
field.
Happens, like whatever happens right now,
mm-hmm.
I want to talk about it right now. Like mm-hmm. before we even the podcast even starts, everybody's like, "Oh, can we talk about it on the pod?" I'm like, "Nah,
this is real.
This is real."
Which would be all jewels
It would be all jewels. Mm. It would be all jewels for sure. But like, nah, we can't.
But yeah, he wouldn't open up with you here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
No, I get that. Like, yeah, I can't. These are your safe spaces. Yeah. I'm not.
It is.
Is that door closed?
Actually, you know what? The pod is therapy.
It really is. Oh, just talking.
It really is. Just talking. Yeah.
Well, because that's what therapy is.
It's helped me in some ways because I'm someone who works on myself continuously. And this has stretched me in different ways that I couldn't do by myself. You know what I'm saying?
It is so crazy. I think I have everything figured out. I always do.
Oh, yeah, you can't tell Ty shit.
You can't.
I think that's why it'd be hard to go to therapy.
No.
They don't have the answers.
But coming to the pod,
everything kind of opened up.
People I respect, I'm just like, oh, dang. Logic. So it's like, oh, Ty, you're not right. You're not right. How I am, I'm just like, I'm right. And then you say something, I'm just like, no, you didn't hear me.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
wait.
Ty's more matter of fact about everything. Mm-hmm. He's just like, this is what it is. This is how I feel. So this is it.
But it's always worked to not get hurt.
Ooh. Okay, that sounds wild.
It's always worked.
Ooh.
Yeah. I found in my own personal life.
Is there a fear?
Sorry. Like, what's that mean?
Sorry.
If you go black and white with everything,
racism,
you never get hurt.
Did you know black and white is an irrational thought pattern? It's an overthinking pattern.
Here she go.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. No. I'll pull it up for you right now.
Well, just explain it.
So black and white thinking, it's not realistic. It's not balanced.
There's a gray area to everything.
Yeah, those are two extremes. Like there has to always be a balance. There has to be a consensus. If I'm thinking it's all or nothing or Job is either good or bad, that's not balance. That's not normal and that's not a realistic point of view.
So we're talking about emotions and stuff like that. I'm not talking about stuff like that. I mean like if something happens, this is right, this is wrong.
There's no in between.
But that's not true with emotions.
It kept me regular. It kept me even keel at all times.
Yeah, and that's not realistic.
I feel the same way.
Because feelings aren't. Feelings are messy and they're all over the place and they hurt. They're up and like that's not realistic.
I know.
Yeah, but when you
so don't have feelings.
That's not realistic.
That's what I'm about to say.
Black and white. Feelings. Don't have feelings.
I think when you master that storm, you see more benefits. You know what I'm saying? Because I found in my own personal life, like I continuously work on myself where I've tried to find my shortcomings and my downfalls and try to get better at them. And what I found is every time that I recognize a new blind spot or a new something negative about me and I get to the root of it and I either uproot it or add something to me, more opportunities happen. I grow here. Like, for instance, one thing I've been working on all year is actually being a good leader where I'm like, I'm not the only person doing all the work. So after we had our conversation, I've been studying like leadership and all of this. And now one thing it was saying was over communicate and actually make people get involved. So once we had our conversation last week, you noticed all week it's been getting involved. I'm like, nope, Joe, let's get on the conversation.
It completely changed me.
Boom.
Wow. What are we talking about?
I'm talking about
it completely changed me.
Hold on.
I look up this stuff for Paul.
Because he's running everything to me. He's running everything.
Let me explain. I'm saying that me constantly working on myself and uprooting negatives,
all right,
I see benefits. One of my negatives has been, why can't I lead to where I get other people to work with me to where we build a monster? So
just so we're clear, and so you are the leader of this.
100%. And hear me out. So I've been working on it, studying. And just last week, I'm like, all right, boom, I got to take this to the next level. So once we had the conversation last week, because I was going to bring it up anyway, I started over communicating throughout the week where I'm like, okay, boom, I actually called you. Like, yo, let's get on the phone with Jaleel. Boom, let's do this. So that's me. That's not the black and white. That's me filtering the waters. Okay. And now we're going to see this turn into a machine. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to find the next thing about myself that's negative or a downfall or that's holding me back. Get to the bottom of it. And every time I do it, more opportunities
and we
come out the
right
woodwork.
Up underneath you, waiting for that crumble down.
I have to let myself be vulnerable.
That's the key.
That's just something.
I don't want to because you just said to not get hurt. Vulnerability is opening myself up to being hurt.
That's what I'm saying. I got to let myself be vulnerable.
Stop it.
Tonette, watch this.
No.
That's not real life.
Listen, it is.
I was about to tell her to be quiet because Nettie's sleeping. I'm like, yo, it's Nettie.
But it's worked out for me.
Let me knock you down. You sound like a pussy.
I've had so many situations that happened in my life that it's worked out for me emotionally. Vulnerable.
Ugh. Yeah, but vulnerability welcomes deeper connection, deeper intimacy, literally letting people see you naked.
That, that word makes me feel awkward.
And being okay, like, man, this is all, this is me and this is all I got, and y'all still accept me?
But the thing is, then I start seeing people, like, people who do that. Mm-hmm. When they get heartbroken, they're broken for years. I've never been broken.
But in that moment.
You ain't never been broken.
I've never.
Boy, stop.
Never.
You wild.
Never been
what's
broken.
The, what's, what, is it negative to get broken? Like, it's a part of life. I've never been broken. It's like a scary. Badge of honor.
No, no, no.
Yeah, that's what guys do.
It's terrifying, that's, but it's inevitable.
Yeah, and it's a part of
inevitable.
You just go through it as fast as possible.
Friends, family, those people women.
That you're talking about. It's not inevitable if I've never been broken. It's not
but
inevitable.
I feel like you can keep doing this, but eventually it's going to come. You can keep living like this, but life is going to happen one way or the other.
Oh, life is happening.
Yeah. Like, you cannot put this whole, like, this wall is, up of,
no.
I'm not
this
broken.
Is, no.
It's not a wall, it's a veil.
This is a certain thing where I'm perfectly fine.
No, which he thinks
I, what
he
I
is.
Feel like, what I feel like, after mm-hmm. having this conversation, it's like, maybe I can tap into some other up. Stuff. Can, like, maybe I can, but I don't even think about any, like.
Can we do this real quick?
I don't think about anything negative, ever. Like, ever. I think about nothing negative.
And that's good.
No.
But what does that mean?
He's I don't lying.
Like anything.
So me not thinking about anything negative, everything is.
But
I also know I'm a logical person where I know, like, I need to have some type of emotions towards things.
Can you guys let me blow real quick?
That's the only reason why
let me
I
just
say.
Blow. Just,
that's
just
the
about
only
time.
Reason why I say.
And this is specific about you.
Anything about therapy because I'm so emotionally detached from things.
Okay.
And I know
so
that
you,
is not a
you remember
thing.
When you stayed with
mm-hmm.
me, right?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
You and Shorty broke up. He left out, got his own spot, secured himself. Then he thought he's fine. When I talked to him like within like 6 months of that, and he was like, I don't care. I'm good. Like, yeah, I was emotional. I was like, it took you 5-6 months to get over that? That was like your life, my guy. Like a not just like, oh, I'm in love with you like for life, whatever, but that was a part of your life for so long. Mm-hmm. And when he said that to me, and I was just like, that shit don't even make sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't
that I was
compute.
Able to.
The fact that you were, that you said, I don't know if you really felt that way, but you said, oh, no, like, listen, oh, she's good, whatever, I'm straight, like, whatever, we good, whatever. I was like, no, you're not.
I was super straight from the situation solely on the fact of
how
never trusting people.
So you never bought in the first time. The whole time you was with her.
And that's terrible, bro. It is terrible.
She didn't deserve that.
Absolutely not.
Do you believe it's true that people who don't like go through something or able to I don't want to say push it to the side, they'll like grieve in different ways? You know what I'm saying? Because like how after mommy died, I was at peace. I'm still at peace. But like I feel so many health things. Like, Ty, you can't shit. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, it's a joke.
I tried to hold it. I was like this.
It's a joke, but it ain't serious. Like, what if?
But it's serious.
What if there's a
and
connection?
I can't stop
because
shitting.
No, there's definitely a psychosomatic connection.
Because when you don't grieve correctly, or if you don't go there correctly, it can cause other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I won't say that it's
like, No. What, he's right. Hey,
what
bro,
if that's,
when yo, you internalize,
what
it gets internal.
Right.
It like,
yo,
that's exactly
your
that's
grieving
said,
will kill you.
That's why I said I think that's
if
why my mom got
cancer. Dies, their yo, spouse dies like exactly. within a year.
Yo, what if that is oh, really a shit. Thing? Like, I can't shit.
Are we finna die?
Hold on. I can't shit because my emotions are fucked up.
You're backed up emotionally.
I'm backed up emotionally.
You're backed up.
His butthole got to cry.
Yo.
No, but did you know this? Did y'all know this? 80, I think it's like 83 or 86% of physical health issues and disorders come from mental emotional disturbances. Mm-hmm. And that's from my neuropsychologist,
that's why
Dr.
I told
Caroline
her,
Leaf.
That's why I told
so
her,
you know that.
Get better at this time in between your clients because it could cause something. That burden, that constant go, that constant exhausted.
I had acid reflux because I had anxiety.
Hey, Ty gonna go to therapy and
I got it right now.
Blow,
yo,
hold on, you're hilarious.
Yo,
no,
what
the way,
if I
no,
cried,
no, the, dog? The, bro, the way you looked at me, when she said that shit, you was like psychosomatic, whatever. Just I was like, oh, like this,
bro,
like this goofy motherfucker over here talking about us, but not talking about
yo,
us.
Listen, to be honest, I just want to cry one time, dog.
I just want to see like your, one. Like I just want to see your nose when you cry.
Like I don't even know what it would even be like to cry.
Yeah, I'd be I'd be honest, man. I'd be hating that shit.
What if like, he had a snot rocket?
I was riding home from Butler.
Whoa, whole driveway away.
Butler 2 weeks ago. And like I got it finally like hit me about my mom. I thought
women
about
do.
Remember when I texted y'all and said, "Dang, I wish she could have hugged Story." Mm-hmm. It like hit me on the road. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't cry and I wanted to.
Just let him out.
Like,
and I was like, "What is wrong with my tear ducts?"
I wasn't fighting it at all. And all it took was a regular someone text me, "Change the subject. On to the next." You know what I'm saying? Like but
maybe
I,
and maybe that wasn't
could.
The outlet because tearing, that's a release. Like, do you release other ways?
Yes, yes, I do.
You don't.
I pee a
you
lot.
Compartmentalize and put it in a box and say, I'm good. That's what you
and
do.
He holds his shit in.
And compartmentalizing is not good because I compartmentalize and it's
I
not
can't
healthy.
Shit. I don't understand it.
Because you're backed
it.
Up emotionally and you need to go
there
talk about it.
There might be a connection.
You need to figure it
this
out.
Man's intestines are sad.
Hey, yo, what?
Oh, this boy can't shit. She said, your butthole gotta go to therapy. Get the fuck like, up out of here.
I swear. It is
yeah,
literally.
Talk to us.
Oh, man. It is literally a problem. Maybe that's what it is.
But there is what a if connection.
No, but what's crazy is
what
she's
if,
right.
Yo, what if I go to therapy and have to run to the bathroom right after?
I would be so, if I was your therapist, I would be so happy. I would be like, please go to the bathroom. Yeah, hey, I would cheer you on.
What if I went to therapy and I could eat ice cream?
I gotta go. I would be so clicked. Happy if you were my client. And you're like, I finally can poop. Like, I'm releasing something.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God. That was so good.
But it's all related.
Is it
it's all related?
It is related.
I don't believe in it.
I do.
See, I promise you, we're not going to take this serious.
See, and that's the thing. Me,
you don't have to.
See, me, I'm the guy. I've always been like, okay, maybe it's possible. Let me explore it. That's always been me. Whereas you'd be like, nah, I don't give a damn. It's probably stupid. Let me stay away from it. I'm going to go explore it. If I'm you, I'm going to therapy.
That was my immediate thought as soon as she got done talking. I was like, this stupid motherfucker.
I'm thinking about check this out.
I've been trying to check it out. I've been trying to get into therapy
literally,
all
literally
year.
Because I
was supposed to help you. I'm sorry. I do remember, though, when my mom died, like, I was, like, falling apart emotionally. But Seth and Ashley both have physical, yeah, for, like, 6 months. They have physical health stuff.
Oh, A. Brown went crazy in the gym, and he was like,
AB went to work.
He was reaching out to me. And he was going crazy. He was doing everything. Remember the Zoom calls over COVID? Whatever.
Listen, we left the hospital. What time was it? 2-3 in the morning?
I YouTubed how to grieve on the way home.
I watched Schitt's Creek.
I watched like real videos where I'm like, really? I got
to
get to the bottom.
Yeah, we're probably not. I watched Dead to Me when my mom died. Like that TV show. I was like, yo, this is morbid.
What
does
that even mean?
It was a show. The woman's husband died. It was all about death. And I'm like, why are you watching this? You know what's really weird? I do real weird things. Yes, last week. I went and looked at mommy's death certificate because I wanted to know. I remember what it said, metastatic cancer and everything. And I wanted to go and Google what goes through the body when somebody, like, what did my mom's
What'd
body
go
through while she died? And I was like, why do you want to know that?
Do you go through ups and downs?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I had real bad, the last January, December and January were horrible for me. I think I called Son every day like, man. And I just miss my mom today. She's like, it's all right now. You know, she's lost two of her parents. Like, I was in Aruba crying on my birthday. Called Seth. Like, I was fine last year. Why is she not? I just could not the last couple months. But now I feel like I'm out of it. And her anniversary's next week. Like, we've all decided, like, we don't. Or just because it's April 2nd, that's not the day we just mourn. Like, we mourn every day.
You motherfuckers.
I think you celebrate.
Your
right?
mom Talk. Died on April 2nd.
April 2nd.
Mm-hmm. My dad died the same day. Darn. Guess whose birthday that is? Wow. His mom's.
Wow.
We all connected.
Oh,
it's all energy.
Oh, wow.
You ended racism
That's
twice.
That's wild.
You ended racism twice, he said. What is wrong with y'all? But listen, on the way home.
I can imagine because, like, you guys, like, beyond Seth and everything, like, you guys
we
were
We performed
so,
at the funeral. We put on a, we put on a show.
No, I truly believe that that was God.
But you,
that was God's
flat out,
grace
flat out,
at that point.
You guys were so intertwined, like you and your mother. Like you guys were together all the time.
It was probably a little unhealthy.
No, you was inside?
Looking
it
back?
Was,
she I'm rubbed your back in 2017.
All, it was unhealthy.
I mean, all the time. Like all the time. Like, I mean, the I guess mission trips? Can we call them that?
Where we went? Oh, you mean to go see like Brian Carter?
To like Vegas.
Oh, just, we was rolling.
Literally everywhere y'all went, I'm going to call them all mission trips.
He said, can you call them mission
trips? I'm calling them all mission trips.
We was going to church.
They went to Dubai to save motherfuckers mission trips. From was, being a Muslim.
They was in
but a lot of times she was
they
on
was in Erie all mission trips. Erie mission trip. I don't care.
We was on it.
Wherever they was
went
going.
To, but they went was together, to Wisconsin.
They was together so much, so it seems like night now, it would be a situation. I just want to make you cry. I'm trying.
Oh
to
no, and
cry.
I have no problem crying. Will it make y'all uncomfortable?
And we had no. She was this close.
I want to make people on the pod cry.
But I have no problem crying. I cry about my mommy every day. I think crying is healthy. I need to release it. If it's coming out, it's coming out.
God damn it!
I promise you, if one of you motherfuckers, because I'll cry. I may.
Yeah,
cry.
I'll cry.
You
I'll cry.
Cried earlier.
That's I'll what cry she said. I was like, I don't even. Somebody
I
see
space get so red.
Yeah, it did get a little rat.
I can't wait to the part. Hey, yo, edit it in.
But I don't
face.
Know if you was going to
what
cry.
What type of stuff makes you cry, though? Because I can't cry over things
bromance.
That you're...
Bromance yes. makes me cry.
If somebody else
is about to cry, I will
he's
cry.
He's going through something that gets me emotional.
I cry
if
about
I'm going
everything.
Through something, I don't give a fuck.
Listen, I only cry over stuff that's real nigga shit.
Yeah, bromance.
Okay.
Like, bromance is the only thing that makes me cry.
I cry about everything. I'll cry about the soldiers coming back to see their kids in school and surprise them. Woo!
Yeah, that's real.
Saving pit bulls and shit.
Literally, literally.
A homeless man getting a sandwich. Motherfucker, I'll be like this. I'll be like,
listen.
I will cry.
But my dead daddy, I'll be like, what the fuck are we talking about?
So do we need to talk about that?
Maybe.
I swear on everything I love. I seen Job. I seen Job the night before. I told Carter, this was like last week. Me and Carter went to the gym. Carter lifted 195.
95 pounds.
No, he lifted
95 three sets of 10.
Three sets of 10.
I ain't stopped thinking about it since.
Three sets of 10, right? Three sets of 10, right? I went down to the bar right afterwards. I talked to Joe about it. I was like, Carter just lifted 95 pounds, three
you
sets
cried.
Of 10. Listen,
bro, I've been investing in that.
No. You know what did it for me? The next day, I'm at work. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. Job texts me and says, bro, I can't stop thinking about Carter lifting that. Immediately, I was like, keep it together, Ty. Keep it together. Your boy really thought about your son like that. You know what I'm saying? On a different kind of level.
Soon as I woke up.
You got
it. Soon as I woke up, I was like.
It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm at work. And he said, hey,
you know what I mean? The slow clap of Rudy.
I can't stop thinking about Carter doing this. And I was like, Brody.
Like Carter said, about to change me. Because like I got a whole nephew where I'm like, I just can't grab him. Like he's just away from me so much. You know what I mean? Like I just can't tap into whatever, you know, guy, whatever. I mean, I know eventually he'll be like 25 and he'll be like this. Damn, Job, I get it. You know what I mean? I'm like, all right, we got here. But when he does that with his son, he said it to me and I was just like this. I said, he did what? Three sets of 10 of 95? I said, oh, we about to be on. This is going to be my guy because we're going to tap in. We're not talking about, I said this. I said, if they have five players on the team that go to state schools, we're winning states. And then Carter's going to be our guy. Like, I have a invested interest right. there. You know what I mean? Like, he knows me. Like, I know him. Like, there's love there. And I'm like, I can't wait to just see what he wants to see. You know what I mean?
I also,
I want to be happy for him.
Right. Mm-hmm. I also wonder, like, is there a connection of, like, him parenting and him and Carter and your dad stuff?
Oh.
Guaranteed.
What's that mean?
I don't know. I don't know the connection, but I feel like there's something that, like, why...
You should always pull your phone out and write in a notepad in these moments, but, like, my dad, Carter, his son.
Yeah, but, like...
I want to hear this. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. I would just wonder, is there a connection? Like, you got this stuff with your dad.
No. That's the thing, though. It's... My dad was my guy.
Right.
Like, that's who, usually it's like, you know, daddy's girl, mother's boy, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's with my mom. Like, I saw you, my first memory is you leaving dad twice. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, but my mom raised me. So what am I mad at her for? And she left a toxic situation. Like, I knew it was his fault. He fucked up. But, like, I don't have nothing with my dad. I just love my dad just overtly too much a little bit. You know what I mean?
Because
I feel like he's undervalued and underappreciated.
Mm.
Damn, did
so
I just say that?
Are you mad at your mom for that? Like, I know you had to leave, but, like, my
Yo,
my dad made to be...
what the fuck just happened?
Relax.
Did I just break?
Embrace it.
See, those are organic moments in therapy that I love when my clients do that.
Unvalued and underappreciated. Because everybody wants to say, oh.
Netty, you are never allowed back.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, no.
You gotta go. Like, that's a wrap for you.
You never allowed. You got me feeling some weird. Right. Like, I'm not.
I don't want to hear you nowhere but through the vents. Like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah,
bump this. This is
some bullshit.
I am so honored to be here tonight.
No, I'm literally about to go home. I'm about
She's fucking me up.
Be like thinking about weird stuff.
He gonna Google therapy.
I'm gonna call Joni.
But I also think we're in our 30s, too.
I apologize.
Do we need to talk?
Just to be sorry.
Is there something you need to talk
Do
to
you need right. closure? Because if I need closure, can you shit?
I hate
Or is it just me?
Because I ain't been able to poop in a while. I think y'all need to talk.
Yo, that is hilarious. Hey,
you don't satisfy that?
Like Pops. Like Pops. Like, are we good?
Right.
Are we good, Pops?
Can we do this?
But this is
Did
necessary.
I tell you why he checked me? His dad comes in the bar. I'm smashed, hammered. What was this, last week?
It was last week.
And it was like this. I was like, oh, shit, Ty Jack's dead. And when you said trauma earlier, you'd be like, there's like a certain way you just kind of activate how you your mannerisms are.
Mm-hmm.
He walks over to me and he was like this. He just taps me on the chest and he was like this. He was like, hey, man, yo, don't ever say that to my dad again. And I was like, I forgot all about it. I mean, that was literally 8 seconds ago. What the fuck is he talking about? He was like, you know his name. Call him Mr. Jackson or don't say nothing at all or something like that. And I was like, damn, bro, I said that. And I was like,
it was wrong. You don't call my dad.
But Ty was so intense about it.
He has a relationship with him. You know what I mean? He has a relationship with him. Like when he sees him, my dad will buy him a drink or something like that. Or you know what I mean? They have a relationship together.
Mm-hmm. And Ty appreciates that relationship outside of him.
Exactly. He saw my dad and he said, oof. Oh, Ty's dad, what's up?
You didn't like that.
He's like, don't young boy my dad.
Not at all.
Like, I'm not him. He's still my dad, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. I went home. I laughed my ass off because I was like, damn, I fucked up. Because I know how Ty feels. And I was like, if my dad was alive and my dad came to the bar, oh, there goes Seth's dad. You know, drunk Seth, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, we was on one that night. You know what I mean?
Imagine
fuck out of you,
imagine
too.
Imagine if I called your dad Seth's dad.
Yeah, it was Sting.
Shit.
That hits differently.
Like, dog, like what?
When I see Murr's dad, I'm going to call him Tax Season. Still won't take my shit. No, yeah, but you was right, though.